In this episode, I'm going to be talking about world events, and also I'm going to pick up where me and Bob left off when I appeared with Bob on last Thursday's Truth to Ponder.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Thanks for listening, everyone. This is Jim Calhoun sitting in for Bob Bierman today. Well, I have an awful lot to talk about today because there's an awful lot going on. I find it really interesting that the people that do not listen to alternative sources as far as media don't really know what's going on. I had the misfortune of not having enough gas in my tractor today, and I was just about a mile and a half from the house, and of course I run out of gas with a load of hay. And I went to a neighbor for help, and he took me in to get gas, and on the way in we struck up a conversation about world events. And he didn't have a clue what was going on. Not one clue. He says he listens to the news, and he had a talk radio station on his AM radio inside his truck, and he was listening to another very famous, supposedly conservative talk show host, but he had no clue what was truly going on. And so we have an uphill battle that we're fighting. People think they have all the information when they're being kept totally in the dark. And so that's where shows like this come in. That's why Bob Bierman and Truth to Ponder is so vital to have that on the air. We have to have someone out here trying to wake people up. Because let me tell you, the world is asleep, at least in North America. They're asleep. And I count myself as very fortunate as being one of those who is awake. I know there's different levels of awakeness. I've met people that are much more awake than I am. But normally, that's pretty rare. I am normally more awake than most people I talk to. But I want to give you some food for thought as far as world events. President Erdogan of Turkey seems to be kind of a slippery character. In the UK, they'd call him dodgy. And I think that's a very good way to describe him. It seems like that he is playing both sides against the middle, kind of walking a tightrope, so to speak, between the Western world and also Russia. Even though Turkey is part of NATO, they still have ties with Russia. And it seems that what's going on right now in Israel, and I'm going to call it as I see it, two wrongs do not make a right. Simple as that. And we talk about the Holocaust that the Jews suffered through in World War II, but yet the mass media in the Western world is trying to justify genocide against the Palestinian people. Yes, I do believe that Hamas is either 100% terrorist or has been infiltrated by terrorists. And I think the attacks that they did on innocent Israeli people is horrendous, and they need to be brought to justice. And they need to be executed, as far as I'm concerned, for what they've done. And the people that took part in the mutilation of the dead bodies, well, they need to be held accountable as well. But to just go in and start killing Palestinians because they happen to live in this small area that's 10 miles wide and 20 miles long, approximately, that's smaller than most counties, at least in Nebraska. And I imagine that it would be counted as a small county in almost every state. And so here we have a nation such as Israel, who claims that they are fighting for their second independence, which I thought that was an interesting statement from Benjamin Netanyahu, but they're killing indiscriminately. Now, isn't that what the Nazis did to the Jews? I'm sure there was some things that happened between some people of the Jewish faith or the ethnic group of the Jewish people. I know that early on, before World War II, that a Zionist group or a Jewish group actually declared war against Nazi Germany. And that's part of history that we're never taught. I really don't want to go down that road, but what I'm trying to say is that two wrongs do not make a right. And Israel just bombing and killing as many people as they can, in my opinion, is the same as the Nazis killing as many Jews as they could. Now I'm going to get back to the Turkish president, Erdogan. I listened to his address that he gave to a very big group of people, and it really looked to me kind of like an old Soviet era or even a Nazi speech by Adolf Hitler. The symbolism was everywhere. They had the Turkish flag, they had the crescent, and all this red color. And the crowd was energized. And when Erdogan said that Hamas was a terrorist organization, not many people cheered or applauded. But when he said that Israel had turned into a terrorist nation and they were looking into holding Israel accountable for crimes against humanity for what's going on, well, the crowd pretty well erupted. And Erdogan has publicly said that they are going to go to war against Israel if Israel does not stop what he sees as genocide. And I have to agree with the president of Turkey. It is genocide at this point. It's one thing punishing the people that instigated the crimes against you. It's another thing to go in and kill their families and their aunts and uncles and their neighbors and strangers that never have seen these perpetrators of the crime. But there's a lot of indiscriminate killing happening that needs to stop. Now, here's where I think things get really dicey. And this is my opinion. As far as I know, I'm the only person out here that's talking about this little aspect. Turkey is a NATO country. They've been in NATO for quite a while. And Turkey has a very large army as far as compared to the other NATO countries. Of course, with the exception of the United States. And that makes Turkey maybe not a major player, but makes them very important in NATO. Israel is not a member of NATO. So if Turkey goes to war against Israel and Israel responds in kind and starts acts of war against Turkey, Turkey can go ahead and call for Article 5 of the NATO agreement, which would force all the NATO members to come to Turkey's aid and go to war against Israel. Now, you know, and I know, that's not going to happen as far as the United States and the UK and France and Germany and the other NATO countries are not going to go to war against Israel. So what does that make NATO at that point? This is where I think Vladimir Putin has greased the skids a little bit of President Erdogan, and I think it's a checkmate. I really do. I think it's a brilliant move by the Russians to, I'm going to use the old-fashioned word, court. They've been courting Turkey, and now Turkey is going to side with their religion over their NATO affiliation. And so that puts all of NATO in a very tight spot. Now, what happens if Turkey goes to war with Israel and NATO does not help Turkey? At that point, NATO ceases to be a viable organization. Now, the NATO members might not think that, but the rest of the world will see exactly how nations are treated if they go against the United States or the powers that be that actually do control NATO. And it's going to be seen as massive contract violations or treaty violations. Legally, I doubt that NATO can dismiss Article 5 just because they want to. I still think they will dismiss Article 5 if Turkey declares it. But when they do not come to the aid of Turkey, well, all of a sudden, Turkey is going to be firmly on the side of Vladimir Putin. And Turkey's been a NATO member and an important one. And so they know how NATO operates. They know a lot of the secrets. They know a lot of the deployment. They know a lot of their plans, a lot of their techniques. And so it's a no-win situation for the United States. And in this round, you'd have to say checkmate to Vladimir Putin. Now, I'm just speculating here, but I really do feel that that's what's happening. I know that there's been over 100 warships of the Turkish Navy that has been put out to sea. I know that NATO and the United States have a massive fleet in and around the Mediterranean in the Persian Gulf. And things are heating up, and Israel's not going to back down. And if I was to take Erdogan's speech and take him at his word, well, the world is in a lot of trouble. And I think that NATO is going to get sunk without Russia ever firing a shot at a NATO member. I can't see how NATO can survive not coming to the aid of one of their countries. I just don't see how that can happen. And I think it's a brilliant move by the people that are against the United States. And I don't think we have anyone in power in Washington. I don't care which party. I don't think we have anyone intelligent enough to see what's going on. And even if they do see what's going on, they're going to blindly support Israel no matter what. And so Israel is always going to be painted out as this victim of the Holocaust, when in truth, right now, Israel as a country is engaging in genocide against another people. It's not good. And so buckle your seatbelts, folks. This is going to get rough. Last Thursday, I had the honor of co-hosting with Bob Bierman, and I always enjoy that. We have a good time. Even though we're miles apart, Bob has the knowledge and the skill to really pull off our co-hosting, I think, without a hitch. And Bob was trying to steer the conversation into survival and into prepping. And I got into that a little bit, but as we were just having a talk on the air, well, certain subjects would come up and kind of derail where I wanted to head things and also where Bob wanted me to head things. And so I just want to pick up off last Thursday's edition of Truth to Ponder. And if you have the ability to go to truthtoponder.com, go to the archives, you can listen to me and Bob, and then you can come back to this episode, and then you'll kind of know what I am going to be explaining. I'm going to put things really blunt. We're in trouble. Winter is upon us. I think that we're going to have record cold weather. That's just a hunch. That's just an opinion of mine. But it's colder here in October than normal by a long ways. As a matter of fact, I have not started to winterize anything because I'm still finishing up hay harvest. And as I woke up this morning, the water in my house was frozen. And so it's getting cold enough in October to freeze pipes that are underground. That is very rare for this part of the world this early in the season. I'm going to be okay. I'll get them thawed out. But it's just the fact that I have pipes freeze this early is very, very disconcerting. And I think that it's kind of an ominous sign for what's going to happen with our weather. And so I think we're going to be fighting the weather. I think we're going to be fighting having sleeper cells in the United States being activated. I think we're going to see the grid go down. I think we're going to see the price of oil skyrocket, even though prices have been coming down. Gas prices have come down about right around 50 cents over the last 3 weeks. I'm really happy about that, but I think that's the calm before the storm. As soon as war breaks out in the Middle East and the tankers are not able to complete their journey, I think you're going to see hyperinflation hit the oil prices. And of course, that's going to be passed on to the consumer. And I've been saying this for over a year. I'm going to repeat it now. This war is not going to be totally fought in the Middle East or over in Ukraine or Russia or Europe. This war is coming to the United States. We're going to see things happen on the North American continent that we never thought was possible. One of the reasons is we have all these politicians that for some reason want a wide open southern border. And what's going to happen with all of the sleeper cells and all the people that are rushing across can't be good. And when war really breaks out in the Middle East, if we don't have that border shut down, if sleeper cells aren't here now, they soon will be. Because everyone in the world knows that illegitimate Joe Biden has opened the borders. And so we have a very, very large problem. And so what Bob wanted me to kind of talk about last Thursday was getting prepared for everything just to basically go into total chaos. And I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think we're going to see total chaos worldwide. Just look at these pro-Palestinian, I'm going to call them a movement. They're more than just marches. They're millions of people all over the world are marching in the streets, supporting the Palestinians and condemning Israel. We're seeing a lot more violence happen between Islamic people and Jewish people worldwide. We're seeing beatings and stabbings and shootings. We're seeing riots. And that's just going to do nothing but get worse. And it's not going to take much to knock our grid down because our grid is, by and large, not defended. And as a country, speaking of the United States, our government has not prepared one bit to protect you and me from a nuclear holocaust. We have no fallout shelters. We have no emergency medical supplies. Now, I do know that the elites and the government people have been building underground tunnels and even underground cities to where they can take their families and they can be all right. I don't know about you, but they didn't send me any directions to one of these underground cities or the tunnels. And I'm sure that all of Congress and all of the politicians and all the quote-unquote important people, I'm sure they're going to be well cared for, but you and me and we the people, I really don't think that they care enough to even consider us. And so we need to prepare mentally, spiritually, physically, financially. But I think that the time for prepping is basically over. All it's going to take is one little incident in the Middle East to push Iran, Turkey, Lebanon, and other countries, possibly even Egypt, to go to war. I imagine even Saudi Arabia is in the mix at this point. And I noticed that the Iraqis are starting to get restless. And I do think that if the Iraqis have a chance to quote-unquote get even with the United States, I think they're going to give it a go anyway. So we have all these ships in the Mediterranean and in the Persian Gulf. We have transport planes carrying lots of troops from the United States over to military bases in and around the Middle East. And I see that Several countries are preparing for a very large war. And that's been pointed out by other talk show hosts that they see the same thing. And so here we are in the United States thinking that we're isolated when we're not. And I think that what's going to happen really soon is that when things get out of control, and they're going to get out of control almost immediately, because as I stated before, I think the United States is looking at all these confrontations with a World War II attitude. I really think that they think they can flex their muscles and go and bully people around a little bit and people will dance to our tune. And I think those days are over. I really do. I know that Russia and China are getting closer by the minute. And I know that Iran and other countries are getting closer to both China and Russia. And if this gets as bad as I think it's going to get, the whole world is going to be fighting. And so where does that leave you and me? Well, first of all, I think that it's a no-brainer that there's going to be a draft very soon. And I think that there's going to be revolts against the draft, like when Abraham Lincoln instituted a draft for the American Civil War in the 1860s. There were riots in New York City. People did not want to go fight. Well, I think those riots are going to pale in comparison. I think that there's going to be riots in the streets. I think there's going to be bedlam, total chaos. And then I think we're going to have looters. And the looters are not just going to go in and steal things. They're going to go ahead and wreck the stores. They're going to make the stores to where there's no way that they could be restocked, even if they had goods to restock the stores with. And that's going to make people hungry very fast. And hungry people do desperate things. And so while the world is going to have wars, I think, raging in several different continents, I think that the possibility of us having wars raging in our own neighborhoods can't be discounted. And so the first thing I want to say about prepping is, please pay attention to what's going on. Please get caught up with everything that's happening. Pay attention. Don't just shrug your shoulders and say, oh, those are just politicians. This is bigger than that. We have corporations, we have oligarchs, we have quote-unquote elites and money people. We have the military-industrial complex. We have all these different entities that want a war. And I will say, I think they need a war. Have you seen our debt, our national debt? Well, one way that we can get out of our national debt is if we have a war with China and defeat China, well, we won't have to pay that debt, will we? Every war is an economic war when you boil it down to the brass tacks. And this is no exception. And I don't think that the elites and these people that want to depopulate the planet, I don't think they're going to let this crisis go to waste. So I think we're going to have a group of people that want to get rid of our debts by war. I think we have another group of people that wants to get rid of the people. And if they get rid of the people, they don't have to pay any welfare or any pensions or any Medicare, anything like that. They're just gone. Think of all the money that they're going to save with you and me 6 foot under. They'll save a whole bunch of money. That's their thought anyway. And on the second half of this episode, I want to talk about physically preparing. But I want to finish the first part of the show. I want to talk about mentally and spiritually preparing. Because if you're not willing to mentally or spiritually prepare for what is likely to happen very soon, all of your other prepping is just so much of a waste of time. I feel that we have military-grade and CIA-driven military-type psyops, psychological operations, that are happening daily against you and me. trying to get us to lose our joy, trying to get us to give up, trying to make us live in a spirit of fear, trying to keep us in the mindset that we're going to obey. No matter what they tell us to do, we will just comply. And so we have to have some psychological operations of our own internally to where we can break free of the brainwashing, break free of the disinformation, break free of, I'm going to have to say, caring what other people think. If I based my life on what other people think, I would be a totally different person, and I would not be me. I will listen to constructive criticism. I will take advice. And if someone points something out that I'm doing something wrong, of course I'm going to change course. But I'm not going to live my life just so someone down the road will like me more. And that's one thing that we've been kind of programmed, that we are to be a community. We're to be of a hive mind. And they're really trying to push this matrix type of collective mindset. And we saw that with the lockdowns with COVID, how almost every country on earth did similar, if not the same, protocols. And that's what they're really after. They're after complete control. And so you have to have your mind ready, and you have to have your spiritual life in order. And I never get tired of telling the audience the truth to ponder. Put the kingdom of God first. That is your only place that you're going to find refuge. That is the only place. And it happens to be the best place, and it also happens to be where you need to be anyway, mentally. And so spiritually, we need to keep praying. We need to keep remembering the scriptures that comfort us, the scriptures that tell us to fear not, the scriptures that tell us to put on the full armor of God, the scriptures that say that if God be for us, then who could stand against us? God made it very plain that we're not to live in a spirit of fear. So we need to fear not. Spiritually, we need to really connect with our Heavenly Father. We need to put everything in His hands because He's in control. But the things that we can steer personally in our life, we need to have not God as our co-pilot. God needs to be our pilot. We're the co-pilot. We need to listen to God and stay in God's will. And we need to spiritually really connect. That is vital if we're to survive these hard times. And mentally, just know that there are forces out there trying to derail you, trying to change your mind, trying to make you doubt yourself. You need to really look at what is going on, and then you can deal with things accordingly. Before I go on break, I would like to ask you to please consider supporting this ministry with a donation. That's very easy to do. All you have to do is go to the website, which is truth2ponder.com. Click on the support tab and follow the instructions. Or if you want to send it in by mail, you can send a check or money order. Direct the check out to Ancient Word Radio, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia. Zip code is 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Spread your garment over me. Shalom Alechem. This is Jonathan Kahn, the nice Jewish boy. Your Jewish connection brings you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a very special free gift you're really going to love. Ruth said to Boaz, spread your garment over me. Or in Hebrew, spread your kanaf over me. Your wings, actually, it means. He does it, and by that, she's no longer an outcast. She's not poor. She's not alone anymore. She's going to be married. From Ruth to the woman who touched the kanaf, the corner of Messiah's garment, we see something. For a woman to say a man to a man she hardly knows, spread your garment over me. That takes chutzpah. That's the Jewish Hebrew word for guts, nerve. Ruth had chutzpah. She knew that there was a blessing waiting. She knew the law of Israel. She knew the law of the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, and she went boldly for it. The woman who touched the fringe of Messiah's garment, same thing, to get her healing. She knew the power of God. She also had this chutzpah about her. So we too. It's not that we should or could tell God what to do or have him do our will, but we are to be bold and gutsy when it comes to standing on God's own promise and his will. We need to grab hold of the cloak of his blessing, the sacred kanaf, the corner, the wings of his garment. We got to take the initiative to receive the blessing. You yourself, you need to have the initiative to grab it, to receive it, your blessing, your healing, your shalom, waiting to happen. God has given you the promise. God has given you the go-ahead. Take it. And go to him and ask him in faith and in holy chutzpah to say, Lord, spread your garment over me. Want more? Ask for the Sacred Fringe on CD. Now, how did you receive something so awesome it's been hidden for 2,000 years? Well, you can. The awesome, unprecedented Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD with the hidden writings of the rabbis that tell of the wonders that took place when Jesus died. Amazing. And sapphires to help you become victorious in God. How do you get these free? Easy. Just remember Yeshua, Jesus' real name, and you dial it. To receive your free gifts, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now at 1-800-YESHUA-1. And I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel, and all the unreached peoples on five continents. The most incredible way you can ever impact the world for God. Through shortwave radio, you can blanket the earth. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111 in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. That's the Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111. It's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem. Spread that garment over yourself for the blessing in Messiah or Olam, the light of the world.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Welcome back to part two of Truth to Ponder. This is Jim Calhoun sitting in for Bob Bierman today. Well, the first half of the show, I was talking about world events and some things that I think you need to do mentally and spiritually. But now let's talk about physically and financially. Physically, you need to have food. I know a lot of people that listen to Truth to Ponder have already stored up food. And also, there are people that listen who have decided that they don't want to store food. They think everything's going to be just fine. And to that group, I have to say that it's better to err on the side of caution. At least get 30 days worth of food. You can do that with rice and beans. You can buy some canned meat for your protein. And make sure you get some salt and pepper and things to spice things up with. Staples like flour and sugar. Just make sure that you store them to where they're not going to go bad. Dried fruit or canned fruit would be good. Now, 30 days I don't think is going to do much more than get you 30 days into the mess that we are heading into. I recommend 1 year's worth of food. And you might say, 1 year, that's an awful lot of food. Well, it is. But 1 year will give you enough time to hone your skills to plant a garden or to forage or to find other food sources. 1 year of food will buy you 1 year of security that you don't have to worry about starving. And if you look at what's happening at the Gaza Strip, these people are starving. They're starting to break into the warehouses and loot the food, and you can't blame them. They've shut off all of the trucks that are heading in, and some of the trucks have been blown up as they've tried to bring relief to the population. And I realize there's an awful lot of people out there that think, well, the Palestinians are getting what they deserve. I would say that the terrorists among the Palestinians, yes, if they're getting blown up, that they're getting what they deserve because of the horrendous attack they did against Israel. But what about the children? What about the young people? What about the old people? What about the innocents? You might say, well, what about the innocent Israelis? Again, I have to say, does two wrongs make a right? Absolutely not. And so we need to pray that peace breaks out, and we need to pray for all the innocents on every side. I stand with we the people, the common people of the world, regardless of who they are or where they come from. I think that there is an awful lot of things happening that Satan has stirred up to get rid of the common people of the world. And there has to be an advocate of the common people, and I definitely want to be that advocate. And so I do my best to try to point things out, to try to get people to open their hearts and open their minds to not just listening to the hate and all the vitriol and everything that's happening against certain people all the time, 24/7. It's time to get real and look at these people as fellow human beings. That's what we all need to do. Now, getting back to the food, how can you do a year's supply of food? Simple. More beans, more rice. Boring? Yes, definitely. But boring sure beats starving. And so if you want to compare anything that you're eating as boring or bland or tasteless or you're sick of it, just take a moment and consider the alternative of not having anything to eat. And I have to say that if you do get a year's supply or any amount saved up and stored back for emergencies, make sure you keep your mouth shut. Don't tell anyone what you're doing. Don't tell anyone where you're keeping your supply of food. And if things go bad, this broadcast of Truth to Ponder, as well as the podcast, because the internet will be gone, if full-scale war breaks out between the United States and, let's say, China or Russia or even Iran, there's enough Iranian sleeper cells in the United States that I think our grid is going to go down. And so you're not going to have me and others that are out here trying to wake people up. You're not going to have us to listen to, have us to encourage you and to help guide you. And so you're going to have to get self-sufficient as fast as possible. You can kind of look at this whole mess as the school of hard knocks. And I know that that's a school that's very hard to be a graduate of. You generally have refresher courses sometimes every day. But you're going to have to graduate from the school of hard knocks. And you're going to have to conduct yourself and your life as flawless as you can, because you can't afford to have any hard knocks come your way that are self-inflicted. If things go as bad as I think they will, then it's going to be hard for you to keep a roof over your head. It's going to be hard for you to keep your family fed. It's going to be hard to exist day by day just simply because of the marauders. And there are certain places in the United States, and Minneapolis is one of them, I wouldn't want to be anywhere near, because we have a large Muslim population. We have pockets of those in Michigan and Minnesota and other areas. Who knows if they're going to put in full bore Sharia law and take these neighborhoods and just absolutely take them over. And who's to stop them if there's an EMP attack and all of our emergency services are down and 911 is down and communication is really hard to do. And if you have a group of people who are very dedicated to their ideology and they can't wait to quote-unquote get even with the other side, well, that could spell disaster for anyone that is sleepwalking through life. And so definitely you have to stay on your toes. I firmly believe that this war is going to come to North America. And if it doesn't, we're going to feel the effects of war just through drafts and food rationing and rationing fuel and other things. And so I would say anything you need, you better have on hand. You better get it. One thing that I need to have is kerosene, because I heat the underside of my house on very cold days with kerosene to keep my pipes from freezing. And so I'm going to have to go get kerosene, and I'm going to try to buy a year's supply. Because if things get really bad, kerosene is going to disappear off the shelves. And then what am I going to do when the weather gets below zero and I have to water my animals? How am I going to water my animals with frozen pipes? And so I have to think ahead. And I really do believe that you need to think ahead in everything that you plan and think ahead on all of your future actions. I see that the world's events and the satanic people are several steps ahead of you and me. They just are. They keep us off balance. They keep throwing new things at us. A month and a half ago, it was all Russia, Ukraine. And now Ukraine is all bent out of shape because they're not in the news anymore and they're not getting the support. In other words, they're jealous of Israel. And who knows that if Iran is attacked or Turkey is attacked or Iran or Turkey do attack, things are going to change. The narrative is going to change. The focus is going to change. And so you can't just hang on every little thing that's happening and try to, I use the analogy of a dog chasing its tail. You can't do that. So you have to pay attention to what you're doing. And getting back to the fact that we're a couple of steps behind, we're going to have to make up some ground. On certain things, we can be one or two steps ahead. And one of the things we can do is having fuel for our generators and fuel for our kerosene heaters. And if we have a wood-burning stove, go ahead and get stocked up, have enough food to where you can survive. And while the rest of the neighborhood is trying to figure out how they're going to eat, you'll already have that problem solved. But I do want to say here again, keep your prepping to yourself. Because if you have a neighbor, no matter how good of a neighbor, and that neighbor's hungry or has hungry kids, and they know you have food, well, you can fill in the blank of what's going to happen to that relationship with that neighbor and how intense it can get. And we have an awful lot of people that say, well, I have guns. And I think having guns is a good thing. I said that last week. But also, I think that the best thing you could do is have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. I think that's better than any gun. I think that we need to stand firm in our faith. Stand firm with our faith. And we need to never waver. I think that's so vital for our survival. Now again, I hope that I'm wrong. I really hope that all of this is just talk. But I've done a lot of research, and I'm sure you've heard an awful lot of things as well. Things are not going good. Just not. There's no way you can sugarcoat it. And there are people that are sugarcoating things. There are people that are Democrats that are convinced that every illegal that's crossed the border is being tracked by the CIA. And so there are no sleeper cells, and there are no people here illegally that the government doesn't know where they're at. Do you believe that? Well, I certainly don't. And if you do believe that, I think that you really need to reconsider, because it's chaos at the border, and it's chaos throughout the state of Texas. And as they leave Texas and go to New York or wherever they're going, it's chaos there. You have New York is buying airline tickets for illegals and giving them a free ticket to wherever they want to go as long as they don't come back. There's nobody tracking anyone. There's nobody documenting anything. And the group of military age young males that have come into this country is massive. And remember back to all of the caravans or all these people walking in Europe, walking to freedom or walking to a better life, whatever the news media was saying that they were trying to do. You notice that all of these quote-unquote refugees from either Africa or the Middle East that were invading, and that's what they were doing, invading Europe, 99% were military-aged young men. And Germany rolled out the red carpet, as did France, as the UK and all these other countries rolled out the red carpet and said, come on in. I think that we have massive examples of a Trojan horse. Massive examples. All these people crossing into our border that are military age young men, I think, are part of that Trojan horse. And I think all of Europe is about to find out that they let the enemy within their own society. And so what's going to happen here, I don't know. But I do know that if I was to take a stab at guessing, is what I'm kind of doing anyway, I would guess that things cannot go very smooth. And if I would analyze things like I have analyzed them, I'd come to the conclusion that not only are they not going to go very smooth, it's going to be really rocky and rough. Hard times are here. And if you want to add in all the drug abuse and all of the fentanyl and everything that's crossing the borders and look at the cartels along the border, how they control vast areas. The United States is not in control of very much. We have a bunch of elitists, very old, very out of touch, might I say naive or stupid people in Washington, both parties, that think that they can just keep doing the same thing over and over and over and the world's just going to keep complying and keep dancing to their tune. And like I said earlier in this episode, those days are over. And those of you who think that the United States is blessed by God and therefore there's nothing that can happen to us bad, the war is not going to happen here, I asked several questions last Wednesday, and I'm going to ask those people that think that God is going to bless the United States. I got a couple questions that you need to answer, and that will kind of let you know where I'm coming from. Do you think God condones abortion? Well, I don't. Do you think God is just and righteous? I do. Do you think that God can bless a nation that is killing babies at the rate we're killing babies? Do you think God is going to bless the corruption? If God is just and righteous, can he bless a nation that is so far removed from God's word with the transgender and all these satanic things that are happening? You have schools that are openly teaching homosexuality and they're recruiting. You have schools that are openly having satanic clubs where they pray to Satan. Do you think God could bless a country that allows that? Well, I don't. I think the people in the United States need to change their heart and turn back to God. And then I think God can bless this country. But God can't bless a country that is as rogue as we are. And unfortunately, we have an awful lot of people who are Christian in name only. They'll say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, but by their fruits you shall know them. And I don't see the fruit. Now, I'm not the judge and I'm not here to judge, but it seems to me that indeed it is a very small remnant of people who are truly working for the kingdom of God and following God's word, trying to be in the will of God. I think most people, they pay homage to God. They might pray once in a while. They might say, oh yeah, yeah, I believe. But their life doesn't reflect it. And so that's my final point I want to get across to you as far as prepping. Your life should reflect your beliefs. It really should. You should be a shining light and a shining example to the world. I think the world is lost. It's hurting. It's about to go through, I'm going to call it a purge. I think a lot of people are going to cease to exist. I think a lot of people have a target on their back, a lot of groups. There's an awful lot of things happening to erode our freedom. And our freedoms come from God. They do not come from man. But you have people being jailed that should not be jailed. They're being jailed illegally. We have people being held as political prisoners in this country right now. And so I don't think we can count on this country righting itself, just changing course, just on a dime. I don't think it's going to happen. So therefore, if you live your life according to how God is telling you, you have to be obedient. You have to listen. You have to pray about things. You have to use discernment. But if you live in the will of God, I think that you solved an awful lot of personal problems that are going to come people's way during times of crisis. I know I sound like a broken record sometimes when I come on Truth to Ponder and have basically the same answer to life's questions, but the questions are complicated and the answers can be complicated if we want to overcomplicate them. But I think that we need to simplify the questions and simplify the answers. And a simple question is, should we live our life in the will of God? Should we have God as our pilot? Should we put God first in our life? The answer is yes. Our job or our family or anything else should not come first. That doesn't mean that we can't care about our job or our family or other people. I'm saying that our priorities are really messed up in this country. And so if we just work on priorities, keep the questions very simple. Is this right or is it wrong? If it's wrong, don't do it. If it's right, do it. Follow the golden rule. Treat others how you want to be treated. Stay away from people that you know who are evil, people that you know are out to take advantage of you or other people. We're living in an age of rioters and looters and con artists and fake news and fake everything. There's so many false things out there that are being pushed as truth that it's just scary, the world that is being built right around us. And if you look back to 2018 or 2016, we already were seeing some signs of distress. A lot of people will mention the presidency of Barack Obama. And no, it's not because he's half white. That's not why people don't like him. It's that he fundamentally came in and tried to change things, but he had a lot of help. He had an awful lot of help from his predecessors, the Clintons and the Bushes, and who knows who else that are part of this. I'm going to call it an anti-American oligarch type elite group of satanic people. I know those are very strong words, but I really do feel that that's the case. So I think our distress could go back 20 or 30 years as to where we started really feeling the distress. But it's now exponentially getting worse by the minute. Art Bell used to call it the quickening when he talked about that on his program. And I really do believe we are experiencing the quickening. And I think that the faster things try to spin out of control, the more we have to slow things down within our own life and keep things in control as much as we can. Now, I'm not saying become a control freak, but what I'm saying is that don't let things get out of control. Because once they're out of control, it's like letting a cat out of the bag. It's much easier to keep the cat in the bag than to try to catch the cat and put him back in the bag. Simple as that. I like to live my life with the old sayings and axioms like a penny saved is a penny earned and don't cry over spilt milk and all those sayings that I grew up listening to, and there's hundreds of them. I go back to those old sayings, waste not, want not. There's just hundreds of them. So if you would search your mind and come up with as many of these old sayings and use those to base your life, because for generations, these truths and these axioms and these guides to a better life have been used. Some of these old sayings are literally 1,000 years old, and they were true then and they're true today. Just because you have a smartphone, or just because you have this fancy technology or this new car or what have you, doesn't make the old time wisdom not true. And mankind was not designed to be replaced by artificial intelligence and robotics, and mankind was not designed to be altered by scientists that are playing God with the DNA. We're not designed to do that. We're designed to serve God. We're designed to be humans. We're designed to do what God put us here to do. And so that's where we need to focus all of our thoughts and our energy. I think that the headlines that we're going to see are going to be misleading if you're listening to the mainstream media. But I think you're going to witness a mass disintegration of the world as we knew it. I would have to say the world as we knew it started to cease to exist in 2020 or 2019. And I think we're in a transitional period. I think that this period isn't going to last that long. And I think the new period that the elites and the Satanists are trying to usher in on us is not a world that we want to live in. Stand in our faith, stand up for our beliefs, and be helpful to each other. Again, the golden rule. So as we prepare, and we prepare for hard times, I think you need to buddy up with like-minded people. Bob Bierman has talked about not communities that are structured, but a loose-knit community of believers that are there to help each other out. And I truly think that you need to seek out people in your community that are like-minded, and you need to become closer with them. And I would add this, you need to talk to them and lay it out on the line and tell them that if things go bad, that you would like to have them as part of your inner circle. I think it's time that we started doing those kind of things. But more than anything else, we need to keep praying and not live in fear. Because the Bible also says, this too shall pass, and it will. But I think that we need to do what we can to ride this out as unscathed as we possibly can be. And I hope that some of my advice today was helpful. I would ask that you would donate to Truth to Ponder. This ministry does need your support. And it's very easy to do. All you have to do is go to the website, which is truth2ponder.com. Hit the donate button and follow instructions. Or if you want to be old school and send a check or money order, you'd write the check out to Ancient Word Radio. You would mail to Truth to Ponder, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia. And the zip code is 24319. I do appreciate you listening today. And until next time, everyone, stay vigilant, stay alert, really keep abreast of what's going on, stay strong, and never, ever forget, replace fear with faith.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth. 2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder. Shining the light of truth in a darkening world.